50 years ago, the airplanes had power systems which were derivative from the automobile and trucks. They had the earliest airplanes had 12 volt power supplies, but then the loads became so great that they had to go to 24 volt power supplies. You had a 24 volt battery and a 24 volt generator actually produced 28 volts that charged the battery, so that if the airplane lost its engine, it could still run its electronics with the battery. As the airplane loads grew, the current grew proportionally. By the time we had B-29s, they had huge cables to carry that 28 volt power, all that current. Furthermore, in airplanes, the cables had to be redundant and fused at each end. Thus, if one cable was grounded or shorted by gunfire, it would be isolated by the melting of the fuses on each end, and the airplane would continue to have power. As a consequence, the cable weight in an airplane became very substantial, and it had to be hauled around for the life of the airplane. The next approach that we worked on at the time I joined Boeing was, let's go to a higher voltage. Edison liked 120 volts, so why don't we make the airplane system 120 volts? Our chief of the laboratory, it was Acoustics Electrical Laboratory at that time, decided this is something that we must develop. He bought some old Army tank engines, and we had contractors build 120 volt generators. We built a big load bank to which we dissipated this power so that we could run the generators through all their performing ranges. The generators worked fine until we did a critical test, which is, how does it work at altitude? Well, we found out brushes, when they spark, generate plasma, and plasma is a good conductor. And as you go up in altitude, you reach the passion law minimum, where the air is about as conductive as it could be. Down here at sea level, we have high pressure air, generate a spark, it goes out. You go out the vacuum, and there's no way that you can generate sparks. But at the passion law minimum, you have you can get one spark. The you have an ionized path, and the current flows through, and the whole alternator burns up. So that ended the era of the 120 volt generators, and so the project was abandoned. The next step was 400 hertz AC. The problem with that is that you couple the generator to an engine or a turbine, and its speed's going to vary. You have a high speed at takeoff, you have a cruising speed, and then when you land, you throttle way back and the engine slows down. Hence, variable frequency comes out. There are two choices, three choices actually. One of them is you live with the variable frequency. That turned out to be quite troublesome. The second choice is that you take the drive the generator with bleed air from the engine, and you have a turbine which drives the generator and a governor on it, which regulates the speed of the turbine so it is constant. Our first approach on the B-52 was 120 volt DC. We abandoned that. Then our next approach was the air turbine. Well, the air turbine had a little problem. It had a frequency bump in it, which came at odd intervals, and our contractor was unable to solve it. The Boeing field was filled with B-52s, so finally I was invited to join a assist team to help General Electric solve the problem. Well, the problem was solved ultimately. The generator built for piston engines had damper in it. The damper got loose, generated the frequency hunting, and after 9 months, the problem was solved, and these air turbines went on B-52s. Unfortunately, another turbine, which was manufactured by another firm, had the governor on the shaft and the overspeed protection on the shaft, and then the wheel was attached to the shaft. Well, on one flight, the wheel came loose on the shaft. The generator slowed down. The governor said, "Hey, more air, open up more air." The governor opened the throttle valve wide open, and the wheel sped up until it busted, sent shrapnel all over, the airplane crashed, and that ended the era of the fleet air turbines. Meanwhile, the so-called Swedes at Sundstrand had developed a hydromechanical drive, which has in it a swash plate and pistons. And this swash plate makes up the difference between the engine speed and the alternator speed. The alternator speed is, the alternator is run faster than the engine when the engine's going slower by hydraulic power, and it's run slower than the engine when the engine's going fast. By extracting hydraulic power from it. As a consequence, this was a very efficient drive, and today practically all the commercial airplanes have the Sundstrand hydromechanical constant speed drive.